This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Now, the UK and Malaysia have a close trade relationship with about £5 billion in goods and services changing hands last year. But with the UK now in a state of uncertainty as Brexit looms on the horizon, where does that leave our bilateral trade ties? So to help us answer that question, we have with us this morning Natalie Black, UK Trade Commissioner for the Asia-Pacific region. Natalie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Lynn. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Natalie, the June 30th deadline for an extension to EU trade negotiations has just passed. I mean, this is not unexpected, considering Prime Minister Boris Johnson was adamant that there would be no extension. But what that means is that it looks more and more like we're heading towards a hard Brexit. So, you know, in terms of your portfolio here in the Asia-Pacific region, as we head towards the end of this year, have you made as much progress as you'd hoped in negotiating trade deals here?
Well, firstly, Lynn, can I just say thank you for the opportunity to come and join you today. Our trade relationship, particularly with Malaysia, is very, very important to how the UK sees itself in the world and how we want to work with partners, particularly on ensuring that we have an open and free trading system. So this is a very timely conversation. I think I should also note, you know, the challenges that we've all been dealing with in terms of responding to COVID-19. And it really is impressive what the Malaysian government has done and the speed of the response in Malaysia. I think all of us have been trying to balance so many different issues and different priorities. And I think what this situation has shown us is how important trade relationships are, not just in the context of Brexit, but going forward for the future security of the economy. And so all of us have been focused on that COVID response, but particularly from a UK perspective, what we've worked very hard to do is also prioritise our future trading relationships within the context of the current crisis. And so I hope your listeners have spotted that we've made a number of announcements recently around negotiations, particularly in this region. So again, I hope that shows the priority that we are putting here. So we have announced trade negotiations with Japan, with Australia, with New Zealand, and also our intention and our hope to join CPTPP. So even with everything going on in the world, immensely challenging, we see our trading relationships in this part of the world as absolutely a priority.
So has COVID-19, changed the landscape significantly for you? You know, have you had to move any negotiation goalposts in response to the global pandemic?
I don't think we've had to move goalposts, but what it has done is reminded everyone around the world of the importance of protecting the free flow of trade. And having open trading relationships is absolutely crucial to economic security. I think it's raised the debate around the security of supply chains, both for ourselves in the UK, but really around the world, this has become a hot topic and a hot debate. And it just doubles down our intentions on having the best possible trading relationships in this part of the world.
Now, you mentioned the CPTPP, which is the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Agreement on Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's a bit of a mouthful, admittedly.
Very well remembered. That doesn't roll off.
No, it doesn't. Now, what's the progress of that negotiation? Has that really gone any further besides the expression of intent?
So we are very excited about this opportunity. CPTPP is a very impressive agreement. It has both depth and quality in terms of what it can do to improve trading relationships. The Secretary of State for the Department for International Trade, Liz Truss, has been talking to a number of her opposite numbers regarding the possibility of us joining CPTPP, and including a recent call with Minister Azman Ali to ask about Malaysia's support. And we see it as a real opportunity, but we are also pragmatic and careful in our approach, because we know that we need to be humble. This is a great opportunity. We think the UK brings a lot to the table, but it really is for the existing members to decide whether we can join. So those discussions continue, and we're optimistic. But we are very conscious that those need to proceed at the right pace.
So what is the priority here? Is it to join hands with multilateral partnerships, or is it to forge forge more bilateral relations with individual countries like Australia and Japan and New Zealand that you mentioned?
It's a combination of both. But I think what you've seen, particularly actually pre-COVID-19, and it absolutely continues, is a prioritisation of the Asia Pacific. So just before COVID-19, we had the Foreign Secretary visiting Malaysia. We've had our trade envoy, Richard Graham, visit twice last year. And indeed myself, I've had the pleasure of spending a lot of time in Malaysia. So absolutely, we want to double down on those bilateral relationships. But we also recognise the rising importance of regional relationships. So we are really investing in ASEAN. Last year, we saw a 10-year high in UK-ASEAN trade, and now valued at $41.7 billion. And we have a really impressive two-way flow stock of foreign direct investment at $30 billion. And we want to see that increase. And we are doing that through a number of ways, very much engaging with the ASEAN Secretariat, hoping to play a leadership role in future summits. But we have also appointed a new ambassador to ASEAN, our very first ASEAN ambassador, John Lam. So I think, and I hope, that shows that absolutely bilateral relationships are key, but we also recognise the trend for regionalisation and very much want to support that in any way that we can.
But those trade flows that you mentioned, I mean, this is come December of this year, the landscape is going to change significantly because essentially the UK is going to be out on its own. So, you know, how do you anticipate the move to try and grow those trade relations, considering that there isn't yet an ASEAN, a UK-ASEAN FTA in place or any kind of formalised trade deal?
So I would challenge the suggestion we'd be out on our own. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I think what you've seen over the last year and particularly during the COVID crisis is really an outwardly facing UK that is absolutely doubling down on its relationships all around the world, but particularly here in Asia Pacific. And we all know that through crisis, you deepen and forge new relationships. So we're very grateful for all the support that the Malaysian government has shown the UK during the crisis. And I think it's brought us even closer together. And actually, you can say the same around the whole of ASEAN and how our relationships are developing there. Again, I don't always think you need an FTA to be the sole illustration of strong trading relationships. Actually, what's really important is the business-to-business links, which we have really seen accelerate, particularly over the last year, but again, during COVID. And I see a huge amount of interest from British companies who want to be investing in Malaysia, in ASEAN. When I talk to the British Chamber in Malaysia, which is very, very active, you know, they have over 200 members. During the COVID crisis, they've seen demand for information and services increase, and they've already run 24 virtual seminars. So I think that's really impressive. And I'm optimistic that although, yes, of course, the rest of the year is going to be challenging for the whole globe because of what we are all experiencing at the moment, it's these great relationships that will put us in the best possible place to drive the economic recovery.
And Natalie, I do want to come back to the business-to-business relationship that you mentioned between British and perhaps Malaysian companies as well as other regional companies. But before that, I mean, I want to address also the influence of China because, you know, as the UK is moving around this Asia-Pacific region looking to bolster these trade negotiations, how are you going to contend with this global superpower essentially in this region where there are a lot of cultural and historic similarities with China and considering the fact that the UK government is considering a ban on Huawei technology, we've seen a lot of increasingly hostile rhetoric coming out of the Chinese government. So is this going to have a detrimental effect on your efforts here to forge trade relationships in this region?
So China is an absolutely crucial trading partner for the UK. And I'm very respectful of its history and influence in this part of the world for all the reasons that you say. And I think there's a lot of very powerful and impactful collaboration with China across Southeast Asia. And again, I think what COVID-19 reminds all of us is the importance of maintaining those relationships and ensuring that we have an open trading system. So it is a challenging time, of course, but we absolutely are committed to positive relationships with China.
And if, you know, in the case of, say, we say even US-China trade tensions once again inflame, you know, can the UK survive without this major trading force in the region?
I think what we've seen during the course of COVID-19 is how important it is for every country around the world to play a role. The challenge of this kind of crisis is no individual country can deal with it by themselves. So what we are trying to do through our trading strategy around the world is really build and develop as many relationships as possible, but particularly recognising the importance of this region for the coming years. When you look at ASEAN, for example, you know that's a population of 600 million people who really are young, dynamic, excited about the future. And we want to be a key partner in realising all of the potential in this part of the world.
I'm speaking with Natalie Black, UK Trade Commissioner for the Asia-Pacific region. Up next, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the relationship between the UK and Malaysia. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Natalie Black, UK Trade Commissioner for the Asia Pacific. Thank you very much for joining us again, Natalie. Now, earlier we were talking a little bit about the UK, you know, post-Brexit, in the midst of COVID-19, and the relationship with the wider ASEAN region. But now I'd like to drill down a little bit into Malaysia specifically. Now, you've talked about the importance of market access. Now, that was your immediate goal while working on longer-running trade negotiations. Now, in the 2 years that you have been a trade commissioner, how much progress have you made on this front with Malaysia in particular?
Thank you. That's a great question, Lynn. We have been very excited around the discussions that we've been able to have on trade in Malaysia. And I think we've seen that ripple through, actually, the business community. So just before lockdown, we saw Smith and Nephew, a new tech manufacturing facility, break ground in Malaysia, which is going to bring 800 high-quality jobs. We've seen Stonyhurst School confirm that they're going to open a new campus in Penang. And I had the pleasure myself just before the MCO to be in Malaysia to help launch TransferWise, which is one of the UK's most exciting unicorns. So I think the progress that we've made over the last couple of years is quite obvious, actually, in terms of the uptake in collaboration and interest from UK companies. But I would actually like to particularly emphasise the work that we are doing together on technology. We very much, have listened and have heard what the Malaysian government has said in terms of the importance of developing digital skills and developing the ecosystem in Malaysia. And we're very pleased to have been able to support that in some small ways. And that's both in terms of companies who want to come to Malaysia and set up there specifically, but also those that want to use Malaysia as a regional hub. And we're seeing a lot more interest in that. And even actually in the last couple of weeks, with everything that's going on, the British High Commission hosted a webinar on tech, and we had over 40 British tech companies involved because they wanted to learn about how they could speed up their plans to expand into Malaysia. So I think all of that is quite exciting, and I'm very optimistic about what we can do together in the future.
Do you think we'll be able to close the trade deficit that currently exists between the UK and Malaysia? So the deficit stands at about £668 million or 3.6 billion ringgit. That was as of September of last year. So, you know, with the spectre of Brexit and COVID-19, do you still think that we'll be able to close that gap?
So when you look across the region, I think we need to be honest that it will be challenging for all countries and all partnerships in terms of future economic growth. The IMF projections are quite challenging for all of us. But within that, I think we have very clear areas where there are potential for growth, and we need to double down on that. I've mentioned technology already, mm-hmm. but education collaboration is also really important in Malaysia. And we are working with colleagues in the Malaysian government to develop a joint committee on trade and investment cooperation. And we see that as a great forum to take some of these discussions forward.
Yes, but speaking of, I mean, of the government, there has been a lot of political uncertainty here in Malaysia, which some say could even come to a head during the parliamentary sitting next week. I mean, does that give you pause, or does that pose a problem for US Trade Commissioner or for other British companies looking to come into Malaysia?
I always think it's unwise, Lynn, to comment on someone else's politics. So I'm going to stay far, far away from that, if that's OK. I mean, all I would say is that when businesses invest in a country, they are investing for the long term. And so they always have that long term perspective. And going back to my earlier points, I think what's really pleased us and made me optimistic is the amount of interest that we have from UK companies who would like to come to Malaysia. And of course, I'm very keen that investment is two-way flowing. And so I very much hope as well that we will see more Malaysian companies that would like to expand into the UK.
So what's your perspective then on Malaysia's openness to British companies compared to our ASEAN neighbours?
So I think we've been very well received. I get great feedback from a whole range of British businesses. You know, some British businesses have obviously been there for over 100 years. But I think even the new guys, the SMEs, are very grateful for all the support they get, particularly from InvestKL, for example, who have been great partners for us. There is always more, however, that we can all collectively do to make our respective countries more business friendly. And I think in increasing transparency around processes, around regulation, always makes a massive difference. But just speaking to the chamber last week, the British chamber, I know they've been very grateful for all the advice and guidance that they've had around the MCO. And that has definitely filtered through the British community. So we are very grateful for that.
You've also previously spoken about you've kind of raised an interest in the e-commerce sector. Is this something that that we're going to see perhaps as a field for British and Malaysian companies to come together to work on? I mean, what kind of opportunities do you see present there?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure, Lynn, both you and I have probably spent far too much online recently as we've been stuck at home. And that's true for everyone, really, across the region. I mean, pre-COVID-19, ASEAN as a whole had a thriving e-commerce sector, but we've seen that absolutely explode over the last weeks and months. I mean, some statistics that I've seen have seen a tripling of use of e-commerce in Malaysia. And actually, I probably think it's much higher than that. And so we have had a lot of inquiries from British business, potentially those companies who maybe cannot have a physical presence in Malaysia for the time being because of the challenges of people movement and everything else. But they are very interested to see how we can increase that e-commerce collaboration. So absolutely agree. I think that's a sector in particular that's going to have a lot of opportunities going forward.
So we've touched on e-commerce, we've touched a bit on technology as well as education. Of course, the ties, the educational ties between the UK and Malaysia have historically also been quite strong. But I mean, I'm also curious as to what other avenues you see as potential areas for growth in terms of UK-Malaysia trade ties. I mean, I think export in agricultural products from British farmers has to Malaysia has been raised as a one potential area which could help to reduce the trade deficit. Is this something that you will be pursuing, or what other things are on your radar?
So we'll be exploring a whole range of sectors, but I would sort of come back to my earlier point, Lynn, that I think it's really important to listen to what a market needs and wants. So we are really following the signals both the Malaysian government, but also Malaysian businesses. So, for example, we watch what happens on infrastructure. If there is interest to progress infrastructure plans, then we hope that British businesses could be a key partner in that. We have a lot of expertise on the advisory side, for example. But we are also really keen to develop our partnerships on research and development, for example, because out of those kinds of initiatives come new sectors that we can develop together and explore further. I think that, again, coming out of a difficult crisis is always an opportunity. And this is the moment to look across the full spectrum of UK-Malaysia trading relationships and see where we can do more together. But of course, both ways. So as I say, yes, we're keen to grow UK trade into Malaysia, but equally very, very keen to see more Malaysian products in the UK.
And I know you mentioned that, you know, an FTA is not the be-all and end-all of trade negotiations. But, you know, will we see a UK-Malaysia FTA once again on the cards? Because I think the last time negotiations around this kind of a trade deal happened was at this point more than 10 years ago. So, you know, is this something that you potentially hope to see within your tenure?
So we are definitely keen to deepen our trade discussions. And I think the Joint Committee is a fantastic forum for that. And we'll have to see where those go. But for the time being, CPTPP in a particular is a way to really deepen our trading relationships. Mm. And, you know, I should mention one of the aspects that we think is particularly exciting around that is the digital trade aspects of CPTPP, which we think would enable us to deepen those technology and data partnerships that we know the Malaysian government is keen to progress to support the economy. So we're exploring all of those avenues, and I hope to come back to you in due course and be able to update you, Lynn.
Why the CPTPP versus, say, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP? Is there some concern perhaps over China not being particularly friendly to the UK with the overarching political tensions at play?
That's a really good question, Lynn. Thank you. And I get it quite a lot, actually, because it's quite an academic question, really, in terms of which deal is better, RCEP or CPTPP. And I think everyone has different views and different countries have different perspectives. And personally, when I look at CPTPP, one of the things that I'm really impressed with is the depth and the quality of the deal. So it really is progressive, the clue's in the title, but actually the content reflects that. And I mentioned the digital chapter, and for us from a UK perspective, progressing digital trade in this part of the world, we see as a key opportunity. So that's really what CPTPP can offer. But I'm very respectful that, you know, this is someone else's deal. And so we are taking time to explore options about whether we could join.
Join the CPTPP, that is. So you're not looking to join RCEP at this point in time?
Not for the time being.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Natalie. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I've really enjoyed it and hope I can come back again soon.
I've been speaking with Natalie Black, UK Trade Commissioner for the Asia Pacific region. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.